Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. When it's time for a new credit card, the best ones do way more than just buy stuff. And that's why U.S. Bank offers credit cards that make every day more rewarding. Earn cash back, score points when you shop, dine out, travel, or binge watch, or get a low intro APR. U.S. Bank credit cards were designed to fit your lifestyle. So make every day more rewarding and check out usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome to the Tuesday, December 15th edition of the RotoWire NFL Podcast. Week 14 is officially in the books. I'm Joe Bartle. Alongside me, as always, Jake Letarski, breaking down your free agent pickups for this week. But before we really do that, I think we have to talk about one of the greatest Monday Night Football games that we've seen in quite a while, right? I mean, this was a fun one. Ravens 47, not 45, 47 for you Vegas lovers out there. Browns 42, and there was a lot of points here in the second half.
Yeah, that was amazing. I mean, that's got to be an all-time like cover, either cover or
right,
blown
or
cover,
a bad beat. Right.
I saw some of some sports books out there, like our friends at the FanDuel sports books, were refunding Browns +3.5, those kind of things that were just terrible beats.
That.
You know, you got to love that. You can never count on that, of course. But yeah, just I mean, that's an all-timer. And the look on SVP's face right after the game when they shifted to him. He was speechless. He's like, he just didn't know. It was great. I mean, obviously, I did not bet this game, fortunately, but that would be a killer, man. That's an all timer.
I don't know where listen Jeff stood on that one. I'll be interested. I'm sure we'll hear it on XM or other stuff publications. But they were actually talking about the bad beats, or really in the case for list good beats this week with the Chiefs and Lions respectively, just barely covering. Dolphins and Lions respectively covering in their games. And this is one of those. I was helped by the Dolphins one. Helped by the Packers, hurt by the Dolphins, because I'm one of the radio hits. I just do the gambling every week with them, whatever, just picking spreads. And I'm tied right now for first. I was tied entering, and so I'm really happy. And I go and look, and I think the Browns +3, and it's like, come on. So I'm among many in America right now frustrated by that. But, okay, so the gambling aspect aside, we had so many points scored. I think this is one of the highest Monday night games in a long time as well. I think we have to talk about Poopgate, right?
Yeah, I don't even know if there's a gate. I mean, there's no scandal here. Pretty much it is what it looks like. Now, Lamar came out and denied it, but you and I both know. We've done that waddle hundreds of times before. We know exactly what that happens. The one question I had maybe was, it took kind of long. Like, It took longer than I thought.
Documented, from what I was reading.
So, like, normally if you have to kind of, you know, clench up and go that far, it's going to come out pretty quick, you would think. So maybe, you know, I don't know, maybe there was some kind of cramping involved. But either way, you know, one of the better, more uplifting sports stories in the last 24 hours.
We really needed this game, I think, for the year of 2020, because it just adds another dimension to what I think is going to be the best game from this season. Yes, you're right. I wish I could say speak for yourself. We have both seen that waddle and done that waddle. We know exactly what's going on when you see that. Well, I mean, for listeners out there who are, you know, trying to follow along with the podcast, I'll tweet out the image of it.
Like, I mean, if you're on Twitter, you've seen that image, right? I mean, if you were on Twitter for any amount of time last night, you saw that image. And I don't know. It's pretty clear to me. You know, college basketball guy, I'm big on the eye test here. I know what the eye test says that was. So
I'm trying to think of that. Like the conspiracy theory behind it. So you're right. I mean, the one hole in this argument is that he was, again, out for 35 minutes, missed a bunch of crucial possessions. It's entirely possible that Lamar, understanding the optics of how this looked, could have just been like, hey, guys, you know, we're up by 14 points at the time when he goes in. What if we just, like, kind of, you know, massage the leg out a little bit? Oh, yeah, also my shoulder's not feeling all that well. Yeah. Like, you could add those things on top.
And then you've got all the Twitter doctors coming through, like, you know, he maybe had COVID a couple weeks ago. One of the symptoms of COVID is you know, go ahead and fill in the blank. Yeah, exactly. Or, like, you know, recovering from it or what have you. Okay. I don't know. I mean, it seems like it's got 100 symptoms these days. And
there really shouldn't be shame to it.
No shame. Don't mistake this as me shaming him.
I'm kind of disappointed Lamar is trying to just get out of that as much as he can. Like, RG3 laughed at a tweet that was talking about it as well. Like, if your backup quarterback is making jokes of it, it should be confirmation. Yeah. There is no shame to that.
I mean, if anything, it's relatable. He's one of us.
Yes, exactly. So that also occurred. And we had just a plethora of rushing touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness for Marquise Brown scoring that touchdown for my last place Dynasty team. In the playoffs, who did absolutely nothing for me.
If you didn't cut Marquise Brown yet,
I had to start him in a different league, but I was already winning anyway. It doesn't matter. But otherwise, it was the Nick Chubb show. It was Lamar Jackson, who ran for 100-plus yards before going
Nick
to the
Chubb
bathroom.
Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, both these guys are studs. Both these guys are must-start status. I mean, it is what it looks like. They're both excellent. I was surprised that they didn't bring Chubb in for a third touchdown after Kareem got him in the red zone. It was early on. I was thinking, like, why wouldn't Chubb be in this territory? And they gave it to Kareem, you know, good for him. They each scored twice, you know. It's going to be game flow dependent. You know, if the Browns are ahead, Chubb's going to get his, eat even more. If the Browns are behind, you know, Kareem Hunt definitely looks more favorable. But both these guys are going to eat. That's the moral of the story.
I can't think of a running back situation where a team has two number one fantasy starting running backs. Like, you could make a case that you're starting Chubb and Hunt every single week and it works out. Like, you might be losing some points from one end or the other, but you have two running backs that can absolutely start in a fantasy team any single week, and they are from the Browns. It just is a weird situation for me. And for how many times that Kareem has vultured Nick Chubb, I was really hoping for the inverse to occur where Chubb was, but that did not happen. It was a little bit frustrating. Gus Edwards and the other side of things also got two rushing touchdowns. J.K. Dobbins got an easy walk-in.
Speaking of people who did not eat, Mark Ingram would be one of those. He played one of the Ravens' 60 offensive snaps. All of the work went to Dobbins and Edwards. And Dobbins, I understand. I think he's the best back here.
Yes.
But Edwards is an interesting look after scoring twice and only being rostered in 33% of leagues. He missed a lot of first go-arounds on the waiver wire. You know, guys who had to have their columns submitted by Monday night to the editors. Maybe didn't get to count Monday night's action in there. I mean, Gus Edwards has been kind of doing this off and on all year.
For sure.
I mean, J.K. Dobbins should out-snap him and should out-work him. You know, if you look at, you know, again, the eye test and the talent level. But Gus Edwards, I mean, it's going to get really tough. I mean, if you're in a bad running back situation, I don't know, maybe you have Jacobs or another questionable player here that you can't quite trust. Edwards is probably startable in the playoffs.
Yeah, that was the part that I was going to ask. We talked last week. You want to have people that you could potentially start, whether it be Tony Pollard, who fills in for Ezekiel, or Devontae Booker, right, for Josh Jacobs 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Is there really an instance where Gus Edwards becomes a starter for you? And I guess you could probably finagle some in there.
So I look at the Ravens' rest of season schedule, and you have the Jags, who are 28th against the running backs in standard formats, the Giants, who are 23rd, and the Bengals, who are 24th. I mean, there are no tough matchups there that would make me shy away. And we know from watching this whole season that Dobbins isn't going to get all of the carries.
Unfortunately.
And it gets a little tricky in the red zone there. So, Edwards becomes in play very much.
He at least should be in your roster. And I don't know a scenario. Like, if Dobbins gets hurt, Mark Ingram still probably takes some of Dobbins' workload. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, here's Gus Edwards, the featured back for the Ravens in these juicy matchups. That's never going to happen. But with how efficient that running game has been, how good Gus Edwards has looked, I don't see a reason why he shouldn't be rostered. Again, at 33% owned in Yahoo leagues, that feels too low for a guy that has been so good this year. So, yeah, that's Ravens, Browns, again, a lot that happened. That might be one of those, and I saw it on Twitter as well last night. You just watched an ESPN Classic, and that's for sure. Like, in 10 years, you're going to be seeing that on ESPN Classic. That's still a station.
We don't have the red zone data in yet from Monday night, but every week since week six, Edwards has had one or more red zone touch.
Okay.
So, inside the 20 and a lot of them inside the five, including five in week nine. I mean, the guy is getting used where the fantasy money is being made. So for that reason, he becomes on the radar. We'll save talking about him then when we get to the running backs today.
Yeah. The other part of this is Baker Mayfield. And I guess it's kind of a good transition into the quarterback position, which we normally do as well. Mayfield played pretty well. I mean, I know the Ravens were banged up throughout most of the second half, really, for the most part, with their secondary. But I don't think anybody would have anticipated Baker Mayfield passing for as many yards as he did. And now it becomes a question, do you like Baker Mayfield as a streaming option against the vibrant and doing pretty well Giants defense? I know that DeAndre Hopkins got the better end of James Bradbury, but this is normally a situation, and certainly entering the year, you're like, oh yeah, Giants secondary, it's horrible. Definitely take advantage of it. And I feel like we have two things that are trending up, both Baker Mayfield and the Giants pass defense now kind of squaring off as one of the more viable possible streamers this week.
Yeah, I'm not too crazy about Baker because when this team is having success, they're a run first team number one. So that out of the way, then you look at the matchup. The Giants, of course, Kyler Murray gets boosted by his rushing every week, but, 24 for 35, 244 yards and a touchdown, without the 47 rushing yards, that doesn't look particularly that great. And even then, the week before, you have the Giants pretty much holding Russell Wilson in check. He was not cooking. He was maybe like a sous chef at best in that game. So the matchup makes me shy away a little bit. And, there are some other decent streamers here. I mean, Rivers has been looking decent, and the Texans are getting torn apart. Derek Carr has been looking serviceable here, and, he's got the Chargers, who are, good but not great. There are other guys out there that I think I'd maybe rather stream. Of course, number one probably being Jalen Hurts at 18% rostered. He gets the Cardinals in week 15. 17 for 30, so not much in terms of completion percentage there, but that's pretty much what we expected. 167 yards passing, 106 yards rushing. I think Hurts would probably be the top streaming options, and maybe if you've been like me and juggling Matt Ryan, Tom Brady types all year long, then Hurts gets in that mix as somebody who's in a similar vein as Murray. We know he's not Kyler Murray, but the rushing is going to bring the floor up just enough to get you the 15-20 points you need from your quarterback to maybe carry you through another playoff week.
Yeah, I mean, Tom Brady for sure is a start this week, but you brought it up, and I'm frustrated. Like, I have made, I'm in five playoffs yet now, so entering this week, I'm still in five leagues. And in two of those, I actually am. Like, I really could use a Jalen Hurts, and he's picked up in both of them. And again, 18% rostered on Yahoo. There should be no reason with basically 2 weeks to play in almost every league that Jalen Hurts is rostered in now two of these leagues. But yeah, like, it's tough.
It's funny. I mean, the hype is real. It depends how attentive, I guess, your leagues are, because in a keeper league that I do, someone that was way out of the playoffs put a $9 bid in on Hurts, and you can only keep two players, and usually keeping a quarterback isn't the wisest thing to do when you only have two. But people are out there. They want to see if the hype is real and try to get a single-digit Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson type in future years. I'm not going to go that far yet, but if you have attentive owners, he's tough to get. Otherwise, with the weeks winding down, if you need a quarterback, he's easily the number one waiver spot.
I think that's unquestionably the case. And I know, listen, Jeff spent a lot of time yesterday talking about Jalen Hurts, so we'll kind of move past him. But I agree, he's the number one pickup for quarterbacks. It might be among the top three or four overall this week, especially when you're juggling positions. It's generally going to be quarterback or kicker or defense. Running back, wide receiver, not so much. Mm-hmm. You have to have a significant injury pop up. And really nothing else occurred this past week that made that happen.
Yeah, the other thing with quarterbacks is, you know, when we talk about streamers, so we can keep this relatively brief, who are you actually benching? Because bye weeks are over. It's the playoffs. Chances are you had a guy that got you here. I mean, looking down the list, Deshaun Watson has a pretty bad matchup at Indianapolis, and he is, you know, he's losing his weapons. Maybe Cooks will come back. Cooks and Cutie are both a little bit banged up, I guess. I mean, Matt Ryan against Tampa Bay, you definitely don't lean back on that well. I've seen Tampa Bay do some nasty things to opposing quarterbacks. You know, if you'd been riding the Kirk Cousins streaming wave there, I guess, you know, you don't really play him against Chicago. Cam Newton, he was already on our drop list last week.
Right.
You know, his outlook hasn't gotten any better. So, yeah, you really have to think about who you're benching because, I mean, out of all these streamers, I mean, Hurts and Carr don't get into the top 12, you know, maybe borderline top 15 this week. What do you think?
Yeah, it's tough. Like I was Ryan for sure. I'll take Hurts over Ryan. I think that's a good one.
Hurts over Cousins probably.
Yeah, well, Cousins is like bottom 10 against the Bears.
He had snuck up to like past 50%.
But let's say Matthew Stafford was healthy, potentially it's a great matchup against the Tennessee Titans secondary. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want Stafford now with whatever is going on with him. I would rather have Hurts over Stafford.
Well, that kind of brings us to our two quarterback league discussion too. I mean, Matt Stafford got crushed in that Packer game. He got sandwiched. He's one of the toughest guys out there. His x-rays seemed okay on his ribs. Chase Daniel at Tennessee. I mean, if it's Stafford or Daniel, I think that's a decent streaming option, probably more for two quarterback leagues. You know, when you look at the list of guys that were hurt this week or other quarterbacks on lower tiers that were changing, whoever the Lions tried out there is probably better than the other two quarterback options.
I agree, but yet ironically, I'm actually picking up the Titans defense as well as a backup case scenario.
Yeah,
just
under
the assumption that Chase Daniels might not do that effectively. And the Packers defense isn't very good, much like the Titans defense isn't very good. So Daniels looked okay in that game, in that little bit that he had to play against the Packers this past week. I don't know. It's a tough scenario, and like I would rather go with Dwayne Haskins if Alex Smith were to be out. Like, if we're going to be going for two QB streaming options, Haskins has the talent. I think he has the better weapon in Terry McLaurin as well. And hopefully has a bit of a bruised ego to the point where he'll be more receptive to whatever pseudo-magic Ron Rivera wants to put on.
Yeah,
exactly. I don't know. It's a weird thing.
Before you go to the Haskins, well, you definitely have to at least type in, if you're in a two-quarterback league, see what Gardner Minshew's doing. The matchup is much, much worse. You know, he's starting Sunday in – but he will start Sunday in Baltimore, and, you know – he's got a running game to fall back on. You know, all the receivers, Cole Shark, what have you, they're better with Minshew under center. I mean, Jeff Inglis hit this yesterday, so we don't have to talk about it a ton. You're tanking if you're starting Mike Glennon over Gardner Minshew. You don't see what you have in Glennon.
Right.
So, you know, Minshew being back, at least, you know, you've got a lot more history of fantasy success than someone against Haskins. Than someone like Haskins, even if the matchup is a little bit worse.
I think I'll take Haskins over Minshew. But, I mean, again, this is kind of semantics because in the 2QB league, you're probably not winning if Dwayne Haskins or Gardner Minshew is your number two guy anyway.
But,
so,
you know, the guy who had Minshew in your two quarterback league could have easily dropped him after Glennon started.
Sure.
Okay, the Jags are tanking and I need a roster spot. This is tough. He could be out there and available. So it's at least worth a mention. Somebody probably isn't who isn't, but I'm going to anyway. Brandon Allen's day-to-day with a knee injury. Maybe go back to Ryan Finley. For me, the biggest takeaway from that story is you probably got to sit Boyd and any other, even Higgins, if Finley is under center, because you can't really rely on it.
And against the Steelers defense, too, which has obviously had its cracks recently.
Not messing around.
Yeah, no, Boyd was already on my bench to begin with, and I think kind of reinforces that notion. So you good with the quarterbacks? Like, I mean, we talked about Cam Newton as a drop last week. He's still rostered in 65% of leagues. Get rid of him. There's no point.
Honestly, 65% of leagues this week, we've already had one knockout route of the playoffs. So I think it's just people that aren't making moves anymore.
Okay.
That's got to be the only reason he's at 65%. Because, if you have an active playoff spot, you got to look at, you know, any of the 3, 4, 5 streamers we mentioned before
I think that's a good segue into a guy that I was just bamboozled with his roster ship right now. Leonard Fournette, who actually now becomes a prominent member, which is weird because we yo-yoed to having a healthy inactive. Fournette was a healthy and active Sunday to now being in a prominent role potentially this Sunday with Ronald Jones having surgery on his right pinky And putting a pin in it, much like we had with Chris Godwin earlier in the year. I think Godwin ended up missing one game, but it was possible, like if it was like, oh, playoffs, mm-hmm. he would be back. It sounds like the same type of surgery for Ronald Jones, too. Obviously, as a running back, I think your hand is as important as receiver, right? Mm-hmm. So I could see.
Got to hang on to the football. I mean, we saw the Gio Bernard, you know, purgatory this week. Hanging on to the football is important.
I could see a scenario where Ronald Jones does not play this week. And if that's the case, Leonard Fournette would be one of the top pickups if he was actually available. Again, at the moment, he was rostered in 72% of Yahoo leagues, which seems ridiculous.
I mean, I don't see LeSean McCoy's snap share suddenly shooting up to the point where he's a bell cow back. Fournette's the way to go. Fournette's the guy that gets the goal line carries. So, I'm glad you put this one in there because I overlooked the Ronald Jones injury. That's a tough one. And if you had, you know, if you're using Ronald Jones down the stretch, there's a good chance he helped you into the playoffs with a couple good games.
Yeah, he certainly was at least a depth option for your leagues that you might not be able to have this week. So just keep track of Ronald Jones' stats. Again, Fournette at 72% rostered currently, unless you're able to capitalize on teams actually cutting their players. Because I imagine that rostership is only because there are leagues that just kind of gave up, or teams that gave up and just had Fournette on.
Yeah, I mean, we can do a whole show about this at the end of the season, but having incentives to have everybody making pickups, I mean, I agree with the common take out there. If it's not a dynasty league or there's no stake bet like ours or point situation, you're not playing for draft pick. If you're out, you have no business undermining, you know, the few teams that are left in the playoffs by making pickups, which is why you need to have some kind of thing like a stake bet, or you're playing for next year, or there's some kind of dynasty component to make things more interesting, make the waiver wire more competitive.
Yeah, you didn't even do this, but it's a great transition again, because I think the top pickup this week, and it's a very specific top pickup, is Lynn Bowden, who is technically a running back classified in stake league in my fantasy leagues.
Okay, because I looked when I added him, he was RB wide receiver in Yahoo too.
Yes. So in stake league, so in my fantasy league and Yahoo, I didn't check ESPNs. I would be surprised, especially with the Taysom Hill nonsense they had early this year.
They seem to be more generous than anything.
Yeah, like I think like if he is listed as a running back, he is not only the must pickup, I think he could be a must start this week as well. Now, again, I know the Dolphins are missing running backs. Miles Gaskin was placed on the COVID list. It sounds like he was tested positive for it, so out multiple games. Matt Breida already had tested positive, so he's out multiple games. DeAndre Washington, we're going to get to him, I promise. Mm-hmm. DeAndre Washington is your starter for the Dolphins, but like, here's a guy over the last 2 weeks in Lynn Bowden, the third round pick for the Raiders that got traded to the Dolphins or dropped, one of the two. 13 targets. And by default has become almost the number one wide receiver, especially after Devontae Parker and Mike Gesicki left in consecutive or in last week's game. And it was like in consecutive plays.
All right, real quick, can confirm on ESPN that he is eligible for both running back and receiver.
There you go. Like, I think, again, not only a must pickup, I think he is a must start as a running back too in a lot of different formats. Like, I have Wayne Gallman in stake league as my running back too. I would absolutely have Bowden as my flex over a Mike Williams, Jacoby Myers, any of the Cardinals wide receivers. These are guys that are prominent players. And if he has running back eligibility, whether it be in half-point PPR or full-point PPR, you have to be starting him.
Yeah, it is a little tough because they have the Patriots next week. And I don't know, the Patriots defense has been respectable this year. They're not the super feared one, especially after all their guys opted out. But no, I can buy Bowden, and he's definitely a cheat code here. I had definitely taken into account Devontae Parker. I forgot completely about Gesicki leaving the game, you know, with the red zone threat that he is. And this
Jakeem Grant was also injured in that game too, and they were already missing guys earlier in the year from COVID and everything else too.
Yeah, Bowden only carried the ball once, but as long as he's got that running back eligibility,
he's like
earlier in the season I was thinking, okay, Montgomery's out, maybe I'll go ahead and pick up Cordarrelle Patterson as someone that, you know, you can. This is like that times a bunch because Bowden is a much more effective pass catcher, and like you said, he's got the pedigree of the third round. I mean, Mac Hollins tied him for the team high in targets with 9, but there's no threat. I mean, Bowden had a higher catch rate and, you know, was right there in terms of average. So, and, you know, the long catch too. So it was very comparable. And no, I agree. Bowden gets up there near the top of the list. I might look, I don't want to say I'd start Jeff Wilson over him, but if you don't win your Bowden bid, then I think Jeff Wilson kind of sneaks in as the second guy. Tell me I'm nuts.
Yeah, it depends. And like, again, if you're using Bowden as a wide receiver, there's less value to that for me. But if he is eligible at running back in every format like we broke down, I would much rather have him. I just don't see a scenario, even if Devontae Parker and Gesicki come back, whatever. Like, even if Salman Ahmed comes back, he was unable to play this past week. He's basically the number two running back for the Dolphins.
And Gaskin's looking at multiple weeks. Yeah, I think that was an actual COVID test.
Yes,
positive.
That's the report. You're
covering
Saturday.
It on Saturday. Yep,
yeah. So as we know right now, there's no threat of Gilmore or J.C. Jackson covering. Like sliding over because Bowden's a slot guy specifically for the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. He has to be the guy I'm picking up over Jeff Wilson. It's easy for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, so I can buy that. You sold me on that, but let's talk about Jeff Wilson a little bit. Okay. Still only rostered in 19% of leagues. I still think that in the overall scheme of things, maybe you blew all your fab and don't have any more or you know, are looking at one of the lower priorities, then you maybe think about Wilson because he's only 19% rostered. He's still very involved, especially at the goal line, despite Raheem Mostert being back. Of course, Mostert kind of had to have that ankle injury looked at. We don't really know. And then I was wondering, well, what the heck happened to Tevin Coleman and Jerick McKinnon? Tevin Coleman had two total snaps in the whole game. Jerick McKinnon only played on special teams, so those guys seem like they're pretty much phased out. And if something happens to Mostert, one of those guys will have to get a little bit more work. But the red zone work for Jeff Wilson was absolutely what was encouraging to me. It's back-to-back weeks now. Now, I know he didn't score week 13 against Buffalo, but he's received a pair of carries inside the five-yard line in back-to-back weeks now. And coming up, he's got the Cowboys, who have just no interest in stopping the run, apparently, whatsoever. They're 27th against opposing running backs in standard formats. And then after that, you've got the Cardinals also on the road, but 22nd against opposing running backs in standard leagues. So Wilson definitely squeaks into my top five pickups this week.
Yeah, and that's an interesting one. Vegas has the over-under at 45 points for the Niners-Cowboys. That feels about right. I don't know if I have a swing one way or another on that one. And
my gut says under because
I think Cowboys offense too. I think that's the other part of the Niners offense isn't very good either. And Brandon Ayuk has been carrying them from a wide receiver perspective. Mm-hmm. Debo Samuel was injured in that game along with Mostert being banged up too. So I don't know. I'm not really sold on the maybe backup running back getting goal line carries in a matchup we both think hits the under. But that being said, when you are getting the goal line carries, maybe it does have some value. Like, I just don't see a scenario, much like Gus Edwards, where are you really starting Jeff Wilson?
Exactly. So that's really the decision you have to make, right? Wilson or Edwards, most likely?
Yeah, or Lynn Bowden.
Or Lynn Bowden. Yes, of course.
I'm pushing all the way. All the chips
are going in. Yeah, that's interesting because it's going to depend on what the injury reports look at throughout the week. If any of those questionable running backs end up being unable to go or are limited, then you suddenly have to make that decision. It's really just too early in the week to tell on a couple of those guys. I mentioned Jacobs, who I had in a couple of leagues, and you don't really know with him, and guys like Carson that are always indefinitely on the injury report,
right?
And so you'll wait and see kind of what happens with this. Were you relying on Mike Davis? Do you think Christian McCaffrey is going to come back? Will you have to sit Mike Davis if McCaffrey comes back? These are situations where maybe you just punted running backs and were streaming the whole year and didn't land James Robinson. Those are situations. There.
I was going to say it's ironic because, we just mentioned a situation, especially this year, things crop up on Saturdays and Fridays and Thursday nights. Like we just had Myles Gaskin, who was placed on the COVID list on Saturday. That type of stuff can still appear. Mm-hmm. So you're right. I mean, there's still viability in doing this podcast now. You're giving options for what you might have to consider down the road.
Exactly.
So.
I mean, I was even coaching a friend through a 10-team league that had Mostert in his flex this week, and I'm thinking, I know you don't do the waiver wire much, but there's got to be someone out there.
Right.
And Mostert seems like an okay, at least going into the week when he was back. But, I've ran across way too many situations where some kind of RB2 is necessary. And one more I want to toss up on this tier. I know we touched on the Cowboys a little bit in that game with the over-under of 45, but Tony Pollard's still 22%. Let me get this straight here. He has value as Zeke's backup, first and foremost, right? And who knows if this thigh bruise continues to affect Zeke? Who knows how motivated he is with this team? Well, you would think out of the playoffs in a normal year, but I guess you never really know in this division.
Not in the NFC East.
Not in the NFC East, but there's value, number one, as Zeke's backup, but also as someone who got almost 40% of the snap share. Like, they seem to almost be splitting time a little bit, and, that amount of touches could squeeze into fantasy relevance, especially, I know plenty of listeners are in 16-team leagues here that are squeezing for somebody in the playoffs. He's probably definitely rostered in that deep of a league, you would think, but if he's not, he's a name you type in as well.
Yeah, I think the people that are listening to this are also the ones that have already picked up Pollard under the pretenses that he has value as a backup. So to me, like, it's like, all right, I mean, we went over that before, much in the same way we've really went over Gus Edwards too, but it's just worth reinforcing the point. I want to focus on the Dolphins running back position because we talked about Lynn Bowden. He is a wide receiver for the team. Just because he has running back eligibility does not affect their running back snaps out of the backfield. And again, Gaskin on the COVID list, Breida on the COVID list. DeAndre Washington was the guy that stepped in a revenge game against the Chiefs, only 13 carries for 35 yards, didn't really do much from a receiving angle. I guess that was to be expected. I mean, like, you were hoping there'd be a bit more rushing yards. But now we have the possibility that Selvin Ahmed, after a two-game absence, returns and has a, you know, not a decent matchup against the Patriots defense. But you look at the ways for the Dolphins to exploit the Patriots, I don't think it's through passing. I think it's going to be through running the ball. So I wonder if Selvin Ahmed, if he is cleared to play, and again, we don't know his status because we're doing this podcast Tuesday, is he a guy that you pick up, or would you rather have DeAndre Washington? Let's say one or the other is starting. Like, do you feel comfortable using him?
Washington went pretty low on my list. Now, he was the guy who got most of the carries, but Patrick Laird actually outsnapped him. Laird had 51% to Washington's 47, and then Laird ran 21 routes to Washington's 16. So even in a game where he was seemingly the lead back, his usage wasn't quite what you'd like it to be, and I would think that the return of Ahmed would cut more into Washington as opposed to somebody like Laird.
Absolutely. So if Ahmed is playing, obviously Washington's out the door. Let's say Ahmed's out again, third straight game. Do you feel like rolling the dice with Washington?
I mean, not if any of those other guys we've already talked about. I'd almost rather start a Tony Pollard in a 40% snap share against the Bengals than I would a Washington.
Okay, that's interesting. I think I might still stick
with him. Pollard might run a kickback or something like that, too. You know, you can't really count on fluky things, but those are just more touches that aren't going to necessarily show up in some of our touches graphics.
Yeah, that's true. I guess I think I'd still go with DeAndre Washington because, there is a focal role for him as opposed to whatever Pollard's doing. Mm-hmm. And maybe the Cowboys are just doing weird things because they can. I don't know. They're a frustrating team. I mean, they've been a frustrating team all year, so it's kind of hard to identify. Let's go through a few of the quick hitters. Ito Smith led the Falcons backfield in snap share, carries, routes run, 45 total yards.
Yeah.
Gurley kind of was phased out again in the second half. Like, I throw my hands up at this point.
Yeah, I mean, unless you have Calvin Ridley or maybe, you know, Julio's backup, Bish, who we'll talk about in the next segment, there's not really a whole lot to like in terms of fantasy with the Falcons. I'll be willing to bet I'll drop Matt Ryan before the end of the year in Stakely.
I think so, too. And talking about drops, I had mentioned McKinnon and Ingram as other drops. Another one I might even consider, and this is Giovanni Bernard. I know Zach Taylor wants to drop him for inexplicable reasons after his one fumble. That's dumb. Jeff and Liss covered how dumb it was yesterday's podcast, which is
like
fine.
832 touches without a fumble. Yeah.
There's a reason Zach Taylor is not going to be a coach in the NFL next year. And this is one of the many reasons why. Let's just pretend Giovanni Bernard does not get to do things again. I mean, like, Samaje Perine, Trayvon Williams could be factors. The part you also have to consider is Joe Mixon could be returning off of IR. Yep. He's eligible to turn last week. I
just really don't know what's happening there.
I don't see them bringing back Mixon against the Steelers in this laughable Monday night game that's going to be happening here. Mm-hmm. Steelers are favored by 13 points, but yet the over-under is at 40.5. That's brutal. I don't think you're using Giovanni Bernard the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. So he might be a guy I'm just dropping, even though I know he's going to be the starter, because if somebody that wants to pick him up uses him, fine. Here's 4 points that you're getting on your roster. Like, I'm almost hurting my opposition by leaving him out there.
Exactly. Well, I actually thought that was going to be the case with Mike Davis because I had dropped him a couple weeks before, thinking McCaffrey was going to come back. And then someone's like, "Oh, nice drop on Mike Davis." I'm like, dude, the guy you're playing, it's going to benefit you because he's gotten single digit points for like the last 4 weeks. Of course, this week he goes nuts. Sorry, man.
I actually think he's going to do well against the Packers, too, regardless of McCaffrey is there or not, because their interior defensive line just cannot stop anybody.
Yes,
it's brutal. But we'll have to see. So, all right, those are kind of your running backs. Anybody else that you really want to talk about?
Looking through the list, not really. We didn't touch on Peyton Barber. He's like a poor man's Jeff Wilson, maybe. I mean, he's the goal line guy with
force offense.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it might be Haskins starting at quarterback, too. I mean, McKissick's a guy we talked about last week. He gets a lot of those swing routes. Alex Smith loves checking down to him. But in the trenches when things, you know, get a little bit uglier, than Peyton Barber's the guy that they hand the ball off to. I would assume Antonio Gibson's out another week. Turf
with the turf.
not something easy that you just bounce back from like that. And even if it is, you're going to be limited. You're going to go out there, get a couple carries. It's going to hurt like hell, and you're going to go back to the bench.
Well, and Washington has playoff aspirations. I mean, they're in the quote-unquote hot seat. So, like, wouldn't you want Gibson as healthy as possible? I think more than likely he does sit this week.
So, I mean, the converse of that is, do you even get to the playoffs if you're not, you know, really pushing your best players? So,
I think in the NFC East, yes. The answer, the answer is yes.
Fair enough. So, yeah, you know, I'm looking through the list here. Yeah, Barber's the only guy I kind of jotted down as more of a bullet point than anything there.
Okay.
Something to think about.
All right, before we get to the wide receivers, word from our sponsors, BetMGM. Sports bettors know that magic happens when you turn a hunch into action and apply the right amount of expertise. That's why BetMGM has teamed up with RotoWire to offer new BetMGM customers a free six-month RotoWire subscription when they place their first bet. Register on the BetMGM app or website, and once you make your first sports wager, you'll receive a season's length of RotoWire's unmatched sports insight. Find out why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks by signing up and placing your first bet today. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditioning. 21 years or older to wager. Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, Tennessee, and West Virginia only. Please make sure to gamble responsibly. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. In Tennessee, call or text the Red Line at 800-889-9789. Or if you know somebody or you yourself have a gambling problem, wants help in Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. So moving over to the wide receivers, it's pretty small, especially if you consider Bowden as more of a useful asset as a running back as opposed to wide receiver. We talked about Tim Patrick, T.Y. Hilton. T.Y. Hilton's going to be a great start this week against the Texans, all the way up to 75% roster.
I'm just sitting here scratching my head. Somewhere along the line, Phil Rivers remembered that he has T.Y. Hilton on his team. I mean, I
think it's just matchups. So they've had some good matchups
exactly.
Recently.
Okay, fair enough. See, I mean, I know Hilton was always, you know, a real good guy with Luck, and then when the backup quarterbacks came around, you couldn't start him. He was unstartable. So maybe you get some of that here, but some of that chemistry is going. I had hoped Michael Pittman would really break out and grow into a huge role.
Yeah.
You know, it's been very modest so far. He's getting targeted, but you know, when you're not getting 0-1-2 targets for Hilton, there's less to go around here on a team where Jonathan Taylor is definitely becoming the
Taylor's
focal
emerging
point
too. I mean, that's a huge offense factor as this as well for the drop in Michael Pittman. But you're right, and Patrick, again, I talk about the Broncos, two touchdowns this past, or 2 weeks ago, a touchdown again this week. Drew Lock actually had a good game, shockingly.
I mean, it's crazy that we talk about these Denver wide receivers because Jerry Jeudy's still kind of very meh. You know,
Did you see the route run for his touchdown or whatever? He had like a 30-yard catch and just completely dusted the Panthers cornerback. And I know the Panthers cornerbacks aren't very good, but like Jeudy put him on his seat. And I can't imagine what Devontae Adams is going to do this week. It's going to be insane.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Jeudy, I still think, has, you know, loads of potential in the world.
I still like him. The only place where
I can decide to keep him is like a two-keeper maximum. And the production just hasn't been there for me to use a keeper spot on him. And, you know, I'm not necessarily thinking this will be the case, but I did put a $2 bid on Hamler in a league where I'm completely out of it. You know, I've got a couple guys with some questions, you know, Chris Carson being one of them and Josh Jacobs that are slightly more expensive keepers. Now, I'll be more likely to keep Jeudy at $5 than Hamler at $2. But I mean, Hamler had a pretty good game this week. He makes big plays. You know, he's probably more of a best ball guy, you know, if you're shooting for that than anything else. But, you know, he came in with a decent pedigree as well. And I think
Hamler's rostered in both of the auto new leagues, which are, for listeners out there, that Devi auction pseudo keeper league that we do on RotoWire. He's rostered in both of them, but for basically a minimum dollars. And the way their salary works, I imagine he'll be in the free agent wire upcoming next year. But you talk about best ball guys. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, MVS, has kind of reemerged as that wide receiver. He's had some pretty good catches the past couple weeks now. Like, I mean,
they have to be contested for him to catch it. If he's too wide open, no chance.
It gets in his head, right?
Yeah, but if they're contested, you know, he's gone out there and he's moved the chains for the Packers in some very important situations. I mean, the bullet point I put on our outline for today was, do you trust Marquez Valdes-Scantling? And that's the question that, you know, fantasy players out there are going to have to answer because, you know, Tonyan still continues to have his role. Lazard is back around. I mean, Equanimeous St. Brown got a target here. And obviously, Devontae Adams is always going to be the first and foremost like option Rodgers looks at in any route tree. Even if it's not supposed to be that way, you can bet Rodgers is looking at Adams first. So down the line here, I mean,
I'm not starting him this week.
Yeah.
I'm not starting against the Panthers. I think Devontae Adams is going to be fine. I think Aaron Jones is a pretty good game. Even Tonyan gets some points. But if you happen to make it to week 16 and you are really struggling, that Titans matchup is going to be insane. I don't know what Vegas is going to set for the over-under, but I can almost assure you I'm taking the over because Derrick Henry is going to go for 400 yards.
You have late-season Derrick Henry Rodgers marching is down go the field. Insane. I can't think of a Packers defensive player that can tackle
no,
Henry.
There's no
so
shot.
So Rodgers is going to have to keep up. That's
it's 100%. So I will absolutely start MVS in Week 16 in my fantasy championships. That's the one roster right now I have. And I'm prepared to do so. Like, I'm mentally preparing myself for the letdown that could occur. But this week, no, I don't think I need to go ahead and roll a dice with MVS against the Titans in Week 16. I'm all for. However, if Julio Jones is out, maybe a Russell Gage in a full-point PPR makes some sense for this week. Like, I know we talked about the Falcons and the matchup they have, and we might not want to play Matt Ryan, but there's, like, just a level of, oh, yeah, he has to throw the ball X amount of times, especially against the Buccaneers. Like, I could see Russell Gage.
Or maybe not.
Sense.
Russell Gage could just throw the ball instead of
That's
Matt
true.
Ryan.
That's true. That was a good throw.
As cool as that was, it was a great throw. I'm sitting here with my Ridley Ryan stack here in Stakely. Just like, yes, Ridley, wait a minute. Wait, who the heck threw that? You know, so I'm just, you know, it's so frustrating. Ryan goes out there, you know, has another single-digit fantasy point day, at least in any leagues that you're taking deducting points for interceptions. Yeah, Gage is interesting, gets used in those gadget-type plays, and the volume seems to be even more so there when Julio's not around. So definitely keep a watch there. Another injury situation I guess I'm watching would be Chad Hansen of the Texans. He's now had PPR games of 15.1 and 12.6 points. Now I'm thinking Cooks will be back. Kiki, maybe. You know, you just have to watch that injury report and see what kind of environment's there. You know, if they are fully healthy, then I'm less interested in Chad Hansen. But if one or both sits again, then he's on the board.
Yeah, I talked about it with Bowden, but like the Mike Williams of the world who's got hurt almost instantly in that Chargers game. They have a good matchup theoretically against the Raiders on Thursday. Mm-hmm. I will play Russell Gage. I will play Hansen if the Texan situation works out. I'll play Bowden over him. Like, I just don't – I don't want to deal with that. And whether it be the Cardinals wide receivers like Christian Kirk or anything, give me any one of these pickups as well. So there is possibility in, like, a three wide receiver and you have a flex and, you know, two – like, deeper leagues, you could absolutely consider really the Gage, Hansen, Bowden combo as for sure starters, I think, based off their matchups. And MVS – the following week also applies that scenario too. So any other wide receivers that you were like considering? I couldn't even think of any drops. Like, I was going through the most roster guys in Yahoo. I'm like, it makes sense to keep this guy.
I've seen people mentioning Pittman as a drop maybe for some of these guys. Like,
he was at under 40% roster,
yeah,
though.
Exactly.
So it's like, whatever.
So, yeah, I mean, you might look at that and make that decision. I know we've been the biggest Pittman advocates, but if you need your last flex for a playoff spot, I mean, do you – Hansen or Pittman? I mean, which one has the better outlook?
We just go every single week from here on out, right? So in this case, I think Hansen has the better outlook. I'll start him. But like next week, I don't know what the Colts schedule is, but you could easily talk me into a scenario where Michael Pittman is still a startable option if you need to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Moving on to the tight ends, we talked about Logan Thomas. He got his typical 10 points in a PPR league, wasn't able to break out to any extent. I actually think he is a decent enough start this week, though, especially if Dwayne Haskins is starter. And we don't know what Alex Smith's status is going to be, but I feel a little bit better about Logan Thomas in that capacity. Dalton Schultz was a letdown. I was really disappointed by that, and he was a guy that we were advocating quite a bit as a top pickup. Only three catches for 34 yards.
You didn't get looked at enough. Only three targets. I would have expected more.
The game
more.
Script kind of got out of hand. Like, the Cowboys were up due to the defense and special teams, which is how you know the Bengals are really bad. When the Cowboys' defense and special teams gets you ahead to the point where Schultz was not a factor, Cole Kmet continues to be around doing things, four catches for 41 yards, and Dan Arnold scored again. So we have Kevin Payne, who writes our waiver wire articles every week, talk about Arnold now as the top pickup for tight ends, three touchdowns in the past 2 weeks. The problem is he just doesn't play very much.
Yeah, that's the thing for me. I was like, okay, yeah, I understand where we're going here. He's a red zone flyer, right? You know, you have to hope he gets one of those looks in the red zone. And you put it at maybe 60-40 against him in a normal week if you kind of had to set that. So, you know, you can look at the individual player props we have too on the website to see. But that's really the only research point because, the week before when he caught two touchdowns, you only played 9 offensive snaps. So what, you're scoring a touchdown on 22% of the snaps that you played?
It just doesn't work that way, yeah.
No, that's not right. And, I mean, he's only been above 30 snaps just once through the midway point. And even last week it was just 24 snaps. So Arnold is interesting, I guess, given this landscape of tight ends. And maybe you could even throw him out there ahead of Dalton Schultz or Cole Kmet. Again, you're looking at a dart, you know? So
I want the floor. Like the Komets and the Schultzes and the Thomas of the world have been valuable to us throughout the entire podcast year because they give you a receiving floor.
Yeah.
Arnold does not have that. There's no floor whatsoever.
The floor is zero. Yeah.
So no, I would much rather have any of those aforementioned guys. To be honest, if you're in the fantasy playoffs right now, you are probably using a tight end that is more valuable than anybody available on the waiver wire right now. Mm-hmm. It's just not a position that's going to be able to give you much, whether it even be a dynasty, keeper league, whatever else. There isn't anything there, much like wide receiver. We need injuries to kind of open up opportunities, and there just hasn't been anything for quite a while.
Exactly. I'll backtrack to Logan Thomas for 1 minute. My decision is whether or not I flex him, you know, in a league where I have Kelce as a tight end, and I don't think with Haskins I can.
Yeah, I don't think I would either. But, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how this Washington offense goes. Mm-hmm. We have to see Alex Smith out first. I still think Dwayne Haskins is a pretty good quarterback.
Yeah.
And has just been kind of submarined by the Washington stink.
I'm trying to say that the Logan Thomas ascension has really only happened because since Alex Smith has been the quarterback. I don't think that that same pace keeps up if it is Haskins.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm not sure. But, I mean, we haven't had too much data to really reinforce one way or another. Let's move on to the defense streamers, which are unfortunately not all that great. I think if you were hoping to target teams, it would be like the Seahawks, for example, who are in a pretty good matchup. Then like the Browns, who face the New York Giants this week, and then the Jets the following week. That's some valuable stuff, but in every league I'm in, I already have the Browns because I was planning ahead. So if you're looking at ones that are immediate situation, you might start the Cardinals, who Jerry Donabedian has as the top, I think, pickup this week overall, right? Yeah, from a defense streamers.
Yeah, because look, we're targeting backup quarterbacks or just quarterbacks we don't really necessarily believe in. And as although we do believe in Hurts being a good fantasy quarterback, you know, for the rushing floor, you go past, you know, to past seasons and think of guys like, you know, Josh Allen or Daniel Jones. Yeah, they're good fantasy quarterbacks because of that rushing floor, and then they'll have to sling a lot playing from behind, but they turn the ball over too. And I think that could happen with the Eagles. One of the big things when we talked about Carson Wentz was that the offensive line situation was brutal. Ever since the preseason, you know, there were injuries, and this offensive line is, you know, a shell of what it could be.
Right. Jason Peters now on injured reserve,
exactly.
too.
Oh, and one of the big reasons I read Jerry here is he cites that we have their starting right tackle, Jack Driscoll. Now he's out suddenly. And, you know, you had, of course, Hassan Reddick get 5 sacks against the Giants this past week. You know, there's sack upside there, even though Hurts is better at running away from the pressure than Wentz is. But, you know, I can't guarantee that Hurts won't turn the ball over multiple times. So you get a young rookie quarterback that could, although he didn't really on Sunday in his debut, you know, you would think theoretically would be more turnover prone. The offensive line's getting worse. There's just a whole stack of things that kind of go in the favor of Arizona.
I completely understand it. And from a sack floor, I get it. But I don't actually think this is that good of a start. We haven't listed in the top 10 right now in terms of defense, and I'm like, no. I would rather have the Cleveland defense against a bummed-up Daniel Jones right now. Like that feels way easier of an idea, and I know how banged up the Browns secondary is, but I think in a Sunday night game, you have all the television cameras on you again, Daniel Jones with how limited he was from a hamstring perspective. Give me the Browns defense and Myles Garrett over Hassan Reddick as the guy that I'm worried about. So I like the Browns defense much more. And again, if not for this week, the following week, week 16 against the Jets, that's a must start for you as well. Vikings against the Bears, right? Like moving on from the defenses.
Yeah, whoever the Bears tried out a quarterback, you target.
Totally fine. They're at 46% rostered, so you could make a case for them. I kind of like the Titans defense, who we mentioned earlier, if they have to face Chase McDaniel. Now, if Matthew Stafford is able to play, we know how he guts out those injuries. The Titans secondary is just horrible. I would be really concerned that Stafford, the quality of quarterback he is, even while injured, could take advantage of that, but not Chase Daniel.
Yeah, Swift is back for the Lions, so that helps, but there's still no indication that Kenny Galladay is coming back. If you get, I mean, Chase Daniel's a pro. He's been around the league for long enough. He's got plenty of experience. You know, it's not like it's a Ryan Finley situation we're talking about this week, but yeah, that maybe puts the Titans in play. They've just been pretty atrocious across the board on the defensive end lately, which has been surprising after their hot start. The other one that, you know, if you're looking ahead, I'm not necessarily sure, although, you know, we're starting to see Chase Young, a top draft pick for the Washington football team. We're starting to see him make big plays and get involved. This is the defense that's trending in the right direction. I'm not necessarily going to advocate starting them against Seattle. Seattle has just way too many weapons there. But there's Carolina and Philly to finish out the season there. So Washington makes an interesting case as a possible streamer. Definitely an under-the-radar one, one that you wouldn't necessarily expect. Now, the real question is it's the playoffs here. Handful of teams left. You know, even if your playoffs are starting this week, you've got 6 to 8 teams in there at best. Who do you really bench? I made the mistake of, you know, taking the Dolphins defense and benching them because it was against the Chiefs. And then, of course, you know, Mahomes decides to throw his
three picks. Exactly. Horrible game.
Which is crazy. But, I mean, you take the same logic, and the Saints are 95% rostered, and they're going up against Kansas City, who, you know, it's either them or the Packers, I guess, when you talk about the best offense in the NFL. I think the stats lean slightly towards Kansas City, you know, depending on if you're looking at points or total yards or different, you know, definitely not differential, but, you know, what have you. Do you bench the Saints defense for any of these guys?
Yeah. Absolutely. I think the Saints and Colts, the Colts have been one of the top roster defenses for the entire year and certainly one of the higher scoring ones against the Texans. I know how banged up the wide receivers are. And the Colts actually did pretty good against Deshaun Watson 2 weeks ago. It was fine enough for the numbers. But both those defenses, the Saints and Colts respectively, pretty easy benches for me. Like, I mean, it makes sense to start the Rams against the Jets and the Steelers against the Bengals and even the Ravens against Gardner Minshew. But there's like a pretty clear hierarchy for I'd much rather have the Cardinals, even though I'm not a huge fan. And again, the Browns against a banged up Daniel Jones, it makes all the sense in the world to me to go ahead and have Myles Garrett take advantage of them.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Cardinals the more and more I think about this. It's like, yes, it is very, very possible for Jalen Hurts to have a great fantasy game and the Cardinals defense to have a great fantasy game. The endorsement of the Cardinals doesn't mean I think Hurts is going to do bad. I still think he's the top quarterback pickup and top stream, but he's just going to have to run around and create so much more, and that causes potential disaster, potential turnovers. So
I guess my one thought with that is, and we'll round up the podcast after this, like if Hurts was going to implode, why wouldn't he have done it against a better defense in a worse situation? With
it doesn't even need to be an implosion. He just needs to make one really bad play, one really bad decision that goes the other way, and then you're hitting value here.
I mean, that's fine. It doesn't make him a top five play, but you know, again,
top ten play, I'd say.
Okay, that's fine with me. And I say Myles Garrett against Daniel Jones in the Giants' offensive line. That's a top 10 play too, and pretty convincingly so, in my opinion, especially with the Jets coming up. So that does it for us in the Week 15 edition of the RotoWire NFL podcast, breaking out all the free agents. We have, of course, Jeff and his guest on Wednesday. Then we have John and Mario doing the Thursday show, and Laird and Jedstead always doing that DFS content, one of the best podcasts that we have on our network. Stick around for next week. We'll be giving you your stuff for your championship Sunday if you are able to play, or championship week in Week 16. Thanks.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.